We asked for $750 to be able to use across the state, and he actually offered to donate $1,000.
Quinton says this number of masks will last the program for at least the next 6 months. After the office was closed for 2 months, Quinton says she's glad things are beginning to get back to normal. For more information, you can contact the local Big Brothers Big Sisters office at 918-213-4524. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis. Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener. Good morning, good morning, good morning, one and all. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. And our gardener is present. He dodged the raindrops and everything else, so we've got Larry Glass in studio here. How you doing?
Tom, good morning. Golly, good to see you.
Yeah. And, it's not raining now.
I think I'm going to get some pontoons for my pickup truck. And put little paddles on the wheels.
So yeah.
Golly, boy! In our diggings, we have seen some giant earthworms too. Boy,
oh, have you?
No. Yeah. And all the trees out here, golly, they're looking great. It kind of reminds me of Georgia when I was living there.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Kind of popping.
Enjoy it, people. Anyway, it's time to also fertilize that grass real well if you haven't yet. And we got rain coming on today. Be a great day to do that. I experimented with my house, oops, and and actually we have a kind of fertilizer, mm-hmm, that's the Fertilome with iron. And here's a, for those of you with color radio, here's a shot of the grass this morning.
Whoa, that is nice and bright green. That has got that rich green.
It's kind of bluish green color. Yeah. Kevin was talking to me about that while I was mowing the grass last week.
He said, yeah.
Said, and I was putting iron on the ground. He said, "What are you doing with that iron?" Well, so that iron gives the grass a good dark green color.
Uh-huh.
And it does. It's extraordinarily green. It's pretty.
Yeah.
So that's really what your lawn, I think, should look like.
Okay.
It's a nice deep green color. I guess it helps to have a horticulture degree to know what to do with
it. Yeah, it does.
But anyway, it's prime time to get that grass good and healthy and ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about watering right now. We've turned on quite a few sprinkler systems, but don't need it yet. But anyway, it's a good time to get that fertilizer down. Now, we should be past on the fertilization, past the 10-20-10 stage, you know, the wake-up kind of stuff. That's already been done. We should have done a nitrogen application in May, and it was almost June already.
Jeez. Yeah.
So it's getting close to that other nitrogen application. To keep it going. I'm not a real strong application. I didn't really make a very strong application. Just enough to maintain the appearance of the grass.
Yeah.
And you want to emphasize some of the nitrogen. And the iron does help a whole lot to help do that. So we have at the nursery up by the north window a whole bunch of Fertilome iron. Iron-based fertilizer, and it does make a really nice green color.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, though, that when you do put it down, it's thundering in Osage County, or you have a way to water it.
Okay.
So there's kind of a couple of rules of thumb there. So.
Yeah, if it thunders in Osage County, it'll be here
get
shortly.
Get out there with that spreader. And
you got a few minutes.
Make sure you got your lightning rod up, too. So anyway, so fertilize that grass. Also, it's time to raise the mower up a notch.
Okay.
I did mine up a half notch.
Good.
And it looks even that much better by having just the pure green grass. I see a lot of people have mowed their Bermuda grass.
Yeah, that.
Mowed their Bermuda grass rather low, and all that thatch is showing through. Mm-hmm. So you need to raise it up to kind of hide that. So, and it should be getting progressively higher as we go. And I say a half a notch. Well, we got the front wheels and the back wheels are independent. And I typically ratchet them up a half notch at a time.
Gotcha.
And it works out pretty well. So, anyway, time to raise it up a notch, time to give it maybe another application of fertilizer and get that grass really looking good. Mm-hmm. Weeds, don't worry about them too much. The winter weeds are basically gone. The problem weeds we're having right now are the dandelions and this foxtail stuff. It's a mess. Mm. And actually, it's very shallow rooted. And as soon as it gets hot, it kind of dies out. Mm-hmm. And I went through with a claw hammer and just popped them out of the ground. I got 2 5-gallon buckets on that grass of foxtails.
Wow.
And they're gone. It'll take a few minutes to mm-hmm. get them out of there. So, and as far as pre-emergence are concerned, a little late for that. Your crabgrass should be under control at this point.
Hopefully.
Crabgrass is up. And if you got crabgrass, there are some post-emergent controls, quinclorac, post-emergent control for the crabgrass control can be put down. Now, I like to use a kind of a spot treatment on that if you can. But anyway, so that's kind of with that. The oxalis is getting to be a problem too. Little tiny little yellow flowers. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a problem right now, and some 2,4-D will take care of that pretty easily too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so things should be cooking right along real well on the grass.
Good and green.
You bet.
Good green.
And also shrubs, good time to the plant some shrubs and things. We got a good selection. They have been really running out the front door. But, speaking of shrubs, the oak leaf hydrangeas are starting to do their thing. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite plants is the oak leaf hydrangea. Mm-hmm. They bloom for a long period of time during the summer. They're very easy to grow. The animals don't like to eat them. And because of that, they make really good landscape plants in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
So they work mm-hmm. quite well as a backdrop. The texture is really coarse. Mm-hmm. And the fall color is really good on them too. And
wow.
They're so easy to grow. So anyway, they're available in red. We might have a few pink ones around right now. They're available in white, rather. Mm-hmm. And we might have a few pink ones available now. We planted some ruby slippers for somebody
a few
years back, and they're doing pretty well. Right. So oak leaf hydrangea, I guess, would be the shrub of the week.
All right.
And it's contrary to other hydrangeas in that it... Oh, we got a call.
Yep. Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener. Do you have a question for Larry?
Yes, you were just talking about lawns. I've been going online and looking for lawn care ideas. Anyway, they really recommend dethatching and aerating.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to find somebody who could aerate, and they're saying, well, people don't want that anymore. I'm going, really? Is it not needed?
I haven't aerated my lawn in 17 years, and it looks fine.
Oh, okay. So you don't recommend it then?
It depends on your soil, really. The density of your soil and all that. If you live in an area that has a lot of clay, then yes, I would go ahead and do that. Unfortunately, my house is built on top of an airport. Not literally, but the limestone rock is to where I can't put a shepherd's hook in the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so I guess it stays loose naturally. The problem with people's grasses and why they need to aerate probably is because people tend to overwater their grass.
I don't.
Okay.
Except it's been overwatered for 2 years with the rain.
With the rain.
I can talk for hours about that. Tell me.
Well, the other thing I was really thinking about doing, you recommended, is the gypsum.
Yes, gypsum does a lot for soil. It helps break up the clay. It breaks up the bond inside the clay, if you will.
Okay. So would you recommend that more than aerating?
Not necessarily. It depends on your situation, your drainage. And if your ground doesn't really drain that well, you'd probably need to open up the soil. And a gypsum will do that to a degree chemically, but a physical opening of the soil... It's a temporary fix, really. If you do aerate, you probably want to screed in some sand or screed in some potting soil or just some good loose topsoil to get it down into those holes. And when you aerate, you want not use a spike aerator, but use a corer that actually takes a core out. You have all these little looks like you got attacked by a bunch of cats in the yard. But anyway, yeah, and the cores will open up the soil, and it'll allow you to put some stuff in there to loosen up the soil, either the sand or sandy loam or some soil or peat moss or something to keep it loose.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you very much.
Otherwise, if you just follow a regular fertilizer regimen and don't overwater too much, you should just do okay, really.
Okay. I didn't get any fertilizer in I'm going to try this week.
Yeah.
Next week. Anyway, so you recommend what strength right now?
I would do some emphasis on the nitrogen. There's so many formulas out there, and there's three numbers that are on the bag. And you want the first number to be relatively high, and the middle number over there, and the third number. We got plenty of that already. But
So like, how high are you talking, like 20s, in the 20s?
Like a 16.88 or a 25.3 or something just like that.
Oh, okay.
Just so you have a higher nitrogen number at this point in time.
Oh, okay.
And also, you can get all kinds of information from the extension agent on how to grow your grass, when to fertilize, and how much to do it, and so on.
Okay.
And if you need be, pop by the nursery, and I can pull that up and print you a copy.
Oh, okay. Very good.
If I'm there. That's a big question. I'm always
actually,
out around.
Actually, I can do that.
Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break, Larry, and when we come back, we've got a lot more of the Green Country Gardener program right here. It's time now for a two-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Congratulations to the St. John Catholic School, 8th grade class of 2020. The St. John Eagles are praying for you as you graduate, for pride today, hope for tomorrow, and for love and support to go with you always. Continue to soar like eagles. If you'd like to become an Eagle, go to www.sjcs-ok.org or call 918-336-0603. 0603.
And good morning, and welcome right back to the Green Country Gardener program. And our phone lines are open here to speak with Larry at 1-800-749-5936. We were talking shrubs a little bit ago, and where were we on that?
We were talking about shrubs and grass and all that, and yeah, how to get a good green grass, green lawn out of that. And when you do put the iron down, the bag over there says do not wash it off the sidewalk. You want to use your backpack blower, because it will cause an issue with staining on the
rust.
Yeah, rust, iron. So, anyway, so fruit trees right now. My cherries are coming in ripe. Yesterday, I managed to munch on a few while I was mowing the grass.
Good.
Good stuff. Good old fresh cherries. Me and the birds are having a good time with that. So they're coming about right now. Just kind of maintain the fruit trees. Cedar apple rust is a real, real bad problem this year, especially for the Bradford pears. We talked about that last week. And just use the copper fungicide, very simple.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that on other shrubs, the fotinias are suffering real bad this year from entomosporium, which is a serious fungus disease of the leaf, which will go into the stem and cause dieback of the stem too. And somebody brought in some leaves in a picture, and I said, yeah, you've got entomosporium. Anyway, I beg your pardon.
I wash my hands regularly.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a disease endemic to potinias and other plants, but these are more susceptible to most. And it's typical when we have periods of rainy, cooler weather, and not a lot of wind except that which blows when we have rain. So, but anyway, it's a problem, and the copper fungicide is kind of lit. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse right now, putting it on there, but it will hopefully stifle the spread of that somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that in your plants. Somebody else also brought in an azalea with a leaf gall on it, which is extremely rare to have a fungal leaf gall on an azalea plant. So that's weird.
Yeah.
So it is. And I've seen it in a few cases. And what can we do about it? Just pick it off at this point. If you see leaf galls on your azaleas, pick them off. Coming soon also on the azaleas are the those lace bugs we talked about earlier. And about a month ago, we said time to put down the imidacloprid on the ground, to a systemic insecticide to try to stave off that population. And they're coming in droves now, so be prepared.
Oh, boy.
And fortunately, though, this cooler, rainy weather has not really helped the mite populations that much right now. So they're kind of waiting in the wings, if you will.
Let's go to the phones real quick.
No pun intended.
No,
yeah.
None at all. Hi, welcome. And you have a question for Larry here on the Green Country Gardener? Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, I bought azalea just shortly back and got them planted and followed your guidance on how to plant them.
Yes.
But one of them has some limbs that are really prominent, that are coming from the lower part of the plant, that are way out longer than the rest of the plant.
Yes.
And it kind of looks kind of odd. So would it be advisable to trim those back and shape it a little bit, or should I leave them alone for a while?
Yeah, there's two schools of thought. You can let it grow. It's just a little bit of azalea adolescence, if you will.
Yeah.
But it'll catch up to it.
Will it kind of shape itself up a little better as it grows, or will it maybe need to help it?
Yeah,
shape a little bit.
Ultimately, it will form a round shape ultimately on its own. But you can go ahead and trim it at this point in time without any harm to the plant.
Wouldn't hurt it at all.
Nah,
okay.
Not this time. Not this time of year.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
And thank you. And our phone lines are open. It's 1-800-749-5936. Where were we?
I don't know. It doesn't look like we will get much of any rain coming over there.
Nope.
What would really be a concern about that, which is over there in western Texas, kind of coming this way a little bit. So,
yeah, it looks like a dandy.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were discussing shrubs and problems people are having with them. And those are really the only real problems people are having with their shrubs at this point is the entomosporium problem on the petunias. And some odds and ends, azalea problems here and there, and an outbreak of a leaf gall, which is weird. I see that on oak trees, too. It's pretty bad. Now, this azalea might have been close to the oak trees, perhaps, and that can carry on to that a little bit, too.
I didn't know that was possible. That's good to know. Let's go to line 17. Hi, you're on the air with Larry. Good morning.
Yeah, I had one more question that I forgot a minute ago.
Okie doke.
There is a bush that flowers in August. It makes really small white flowers.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can see it in the wild along the sides of the road.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called. Some people have it in their yard. Do you recognize what I'm talking about?
Is it a bush or a vine? There is a vine that kind of climbs everywhere and has very fragrant white flowers on it.
I don't think it's a vine.
Okay.
I think it's along the pathway over on the east side of town, that walking pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember what it's called. I was hoping maybe you might recognize it.
I think that's Iliagnus.
Okay, because I was wanting to get some, but I couldn't remember what it was to ask for.
It could be, because they bloom in the fall with small white flowers, and they are quite fragrant. Also called a fragrant tea olive.
Is that a climber or is that a bush?
It's actually a little bit of both.
It's a bush that climbs.
It grows really fast. So you might, if you can, bring a leaf by. We can properly identify it.
Aguilaris, how do you say?
Iliagnus.
Iliagnus. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a member of the olive family, and it has a leaf. The leaf on it is on some varieties is somewhat sandpapery in feel.
Do you have a spelling
I'll have
on
to
that,
see
Larry?
If I can get a stem off of one of them somewhere.
Elaeg in U.S. Iliagnus,
okay.
Yeah. Also called a fragrant tea olive is another word for it.
Okay.
It's an interesting plant. It needs a lot of room, though. It can get rather fairly large. But what's really nice is in the fall, it has these little tiny white flowers, and they are really quite fragrant.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener and, of course, your calls as well right here. Right now, it's time for a two-minute timeout.
It's Peter's True Value Bargains of the Month in May. Right now, get a Techner Apex 0G 50-foot garden hose for $29.99. Fire up the grill with Kingsford Original Charcoal, just $17.99 for a two-pack. GE has four-pack light bulb for $19.99 each. Keep your shop or garage clean with a 5-gallon heavy-duty wet dry vac for $39.99. And Peters has Miracle-Gro plant food and potty mix for $7.99 each after a $3 instant in-store rebate. Shop Peters True Value in Dewey and Save. Offers good through May 31st.
St. Jude exceeds any expectation or any dream I could have ever had about a hospital. First was getting David here to save his life. But then I was told we wouldn't get a bill. I didn't quite process that. How's this possible? It's possible through all the wonderful people who donate.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. If you think about that, I mean, go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine.
The research here is research that we share with everyone else because overall we want to help all children that have cancer. What makes that possible is people that give to St. Jude. They really help us to fulfill our mission, and we're so grateful to have them on our team.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
I don't know if President Trump monitors your station. I hope he does, because much wisdom is to be gained.
I love your show. I am a loyal listener.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day.
And online at bartlesvilleradio.com.
Give me your antibodies.
All righty, folks. We are back. It is right now 8:32, and it is the Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite radio station at 1-800-749-5936. That'll get you on the air with Larry.
And the vegetable garden this
vegetable
week,
garden.
We've had a lot of good feedback on people's tomatoes. They're doing really quite well.
Yeah.
So they're growing.
We gave them so much advice going into the tomato season.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, they're up and growing and things like that, they better be looking good.
Now that at somebody's house, you'd say these beautiful tomato plants. You just, no bacterial leaf spot, or the heat really hadn't hit yet for the bacterial leaf spot. And it's time right now, if you haven't yet, it's time to mulch the ground around your tomatoes. Just so when it does get warm, the bacteria doesn't have a chance to fester and grow into your leaves. So you want to make sure, probably before it rains this week, for Noah's Ark comes in again this week, that you want to probably go ahead and put a mulch down on your tomatoes. It does help keep the soil moisture content fairly stable as far as, you know, peaks and valleys in your moisture content. Mm-hmm. And that can cause problems with your tomatoes, some cracking and whatnot and everything else like that. So go ahead and mulch those tomatoes right now if you haven't yet. You might consider maybe a little fertilization of your tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Use something, not so much nitrogen, but perhaps something like a 10-20-10 even on your tomatoes to do very well. Don't overdo it. See, you get cracking and splitting and blossom end rot if you do that.
You don't want that on your tomatoes.
If you did put some gypsum on your ground during the summer, mm-hmm. and actually kind of on a regular basis, that calcium is available to the plants. And it does help the cell walls establish a little better. Typically, blossom end rot is a sign of a calcium deficiency. So don't wait till it happens. You might consider getting a sack of gypsum. It's relatively inexpensive and does a lot of good for your plants. It gives you some sulfur and some elemental calcium necessary for them to do very well. So calcium's good for other things you grow, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's what's going on there. You should be getting some beans and peas and stuff pretty soon. It's time to get that okra in the ground if you haven't yet. Mm-hmm. The cool season crops are about over with. Stuff like broccoli and cauliflower, lettuce and whatnot. It's kind of on its way out. Mm-hmm. And it's almost time to dig up those potatoes, too. They're going to start blooming pretty soon. And usually when they're in bloom, it's time to harvest the potatoes. And I've always just dug them up and left a few in the ground. That way you get some more next year.
There you go. You're all set.
But to have our little homely tomato harvest or potato harvest is kind of fun, too. Anyway, that's kind of it with vegetable gardens. Crepe myrtles, they're just now beginning to differentiate. So if you haven't cut your back your crepe myrtles, you're just about too late. It's just about June, and that's when about mid-June is when the leaves start turning into flowers. So some of them kind of slow to emerge, but I think they're this week we've had some warmth, and they're really going to start taking off. We got a caller?
We sure do. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You got a question for Larry?
Yes, Larry. I have two Bradford pear trees that have the applewood fungus.
Yes.
But they're about a 30-foot high tree. I mean, I can't get a hose up there to really spray them or anything. Is it going to kill the tree?
Bradford pears are pretty tough. They've survived some anomalous freezes in which they were subjected to fire blight, and they survived that. It was a few years back when that happened. And I think they'll survive this as well. You're going to get some leaf drop on them pretty soon. And
yes, they're already coming down pretty heavy.
Okay.
I guess the main question was, it shouldn't kill them, I guess.
I don't think so. If it gets really, really hot and dry this summer, they can't transpire enough to keep themselves cool. That's the main problem that can happen with the Bradford pears is getting overheated in the sun. You just hope it doesn't get too hot, I guess.
Okay. But I really appreciate that, though, because I don't know exactly how to get that fungus spray up there, so...
Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
So, the Bradford pears are, like I mentioned this last week, they're going to start defoliating because of that. You'll have a veneer of leaves around the periphery of the tree, on the outermost part of the tree. In other words, they will probably issue some new leaves after all this rain business is over with. It's just not too far away.
Second week of June. There's
no end in sight, but anyway, so they should survive okay. But if they do lose all their leaves, the chances are they probably won't make it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so roses right now, you need, if you haven't started a spray regimen, if you do have some black spot I do have a little bit of black spot on Julia, but I think she'll pull through okay. The knockout roses, they got set back pretty bad by the rosette's disease. And actually, I've seen a bit of a comeback on them. So the areas affected by the rosette's disease is not as cold hardy as the rest of the plant. And a lot of it just kind of shriveled up and dried up. And a lot of people's knockouts are making a recovery. And I say that with some reservation.
So they're at a standing eight count?
Yeah. We'll see what happens when it warms up. So anyway, just enjoy them while you got them now. They probably will start to show some signs of the rosette's disease pretty soon. So anyway, at the nursery, golly, we got all kinds of stuff. We got some new houseplants that came in. Really nice. And I got a listing here of what we had. We got some mandevillas, which are really nice. Geranta, hibiscus, multicolored braids, even on the hibiscus too. And some ferns and whatnot. So all kinds of cool stuff. And also a whole bunch of houseplants too. Some jasmine. The jasmine vines are really fragrant right now.
Mm-hmm.
So philodendrons and so on and so on. So Algerian ivy and staghorn ferns. We've had really good sales with staghorn ferns. They're very easy to grow houseplants. So anyway, just check it out and see what we got.
Got it.
As far as houseplants are concerned. Also, a great crop of impatiens. Those are in. They're done. The second go-around of hardy hibiscus is maturing. Don't think it's going to be ready this week. We didn't have a lot of heat. So perhaps maybe next week they'll be ready for sale. But don't count on that either, because we're not going to have a lot of sunshine. So the hardy hibiscus is coming along nicely, but it's just not quite ready to sell. But it'll be ready sometime. And a good selection of shrubs. We got some really nice line of Obsession Nandinas in. Mm-hmm. And they're really exhibiting some good leaf color. So that's a good insect-free, disease-free, carefree plant to put in the yard to give you some color.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So you might consider that too. The Heuchera plants are coming along nicely. I get this blank stare when I say Heuchera.
No, I'm following along.
Otherwise known as coral bells or chatterbox, if you will, is another word for them. And they've had all different colored leaves with these plants, too. And I've used them very successfully in several cases around trees where the grass will not grow.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done really quite well in a shallow soil situation. So
we got a lot of big trees.
Yeah, pretty good thing to do now. So
we got another call here, Larry.
Okay, put them on.
All right, let's go. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we got some sun patients down there the other day,
mm-hmm.
and we planted them, and two of them are probably, 18, 24 inches apart.
Yes.
One of them has been just fine. The other one, the other day, just laid down, lost all its blooms, looked like it was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 2 days later, it's back up. The leaves are back up,
mm-hmm.
and it's trying to bring some blooms on. Why would two of them that close together, why would one go down and one looks like it did when we bought it, or, got blooms on it,
and yeah.
upright and all that?
Well, when you first plant your annuals or any tree or any shrub, all the roots are confined to the root mass itself in that little container. And it's going to dry out a lot quicker than the surrounding soil. So when you do water, you want to do a specific watering application to those plants for a while until the roots can go out into the soil. So it's not unusual. It happens at the nursery, too. When we're real busy, they kind of look like that old dish rag, but you water them, they just pop back up. So
okay and you have to water around here.
Well, yeah, I planted some at my house and I've watered them in real good and put mulch around them, a big, good heavy dose of mulch, and they're doing pretty well. But you do have to be specific with your watering applications initially until they can get some roots out into the surrounding soil. And then they should do fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
And we've got line 19 ready to go. Hi, you're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. What plant was the previous caller talking about? Well, when I called in, I lost the broadcast for a minute there. I didn't hear.
Sun patients. Yeah, it's a variety of impatiens that tolerates the sun real well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I understand. But I've never messed with those. My question is about an elephant ear.
Uh-huh.
I need to move it out of my main flower bed. When it gets 6 feet or 8 feet tall, it blocks off the view of a whole bunch of other plants. I didn't realize it was going to be so big or I wouldn't have planted it there. But at any rate, have you got any advice on moving the sucker?
Well,
it's about a foot and a half tall right now.
Yeah, it can be moved right now. It'll set it back a little bit because I don't think that unless you're really a he-man, I don't think you can get all the roots that on it. But the bigger the root mass you can get out of it, the better it's going to survive. It'll survive okay. You got a lot of storage in that root, but it will set it back a bit if you move it at this time.
I see. So I probably needed to dig up a root ball about a foot and a half wide, or a foot and a half diameter, and a foot deep.
Yeah, get as big a root mass as you can, and it can be relocated. But expect as far as its progress is concerned, expect some stalling on that. But give it a week and a half or so, it'll start to grow again.
All right, good enough. Thank you much.
All right.
Appreciate the show.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll have more of the Green Country Gardener coming up in just a moment. Time now for a two-minute timeout.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants, too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it, but it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Wake the heck up.
Wake up with Phil and Tom in the morning. I'm Tom Davis, and I'll bring you the headlines of the day. Phil Weaver handles the entertainment and the extended forecast. For sports, it doesn't get any better than Evan Farbach, bringing you the latest from high school, college, and the pros. Phil and Tom in the morning.
Every morning.
Every morning.
On 1400 and 93.3 K1. The one you trust. Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener right here on your favorite radio station, 69 degrees. It is 8:46, and our phone lines are open for a change at 1-800-749-5936. That is 1-800-749-5936. Lawrence, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah.
You're the man in demand today, that's for sure.
Yeah. One thing, we got a caller.
Yeah, it looks like it here. Let's go ahead and go for it. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. We have a massive sycamore tree in our yard and never had this happen before. This year, it's shedding leaves like it's in the fall. It's still, there's green, there's no problem, but they're just coming off right at the branch.
Are the leaves a normal sized?
Yes.
Are they relatively flat?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not, it doesn't sound like anthracnose, which is a typical problem that sycamore trees have. Mm-hmm. When it's really wet like this, they have what we call leaf anthracnose. Another question, are the leaves falling off, are they closer to the trunk or are they further out? In other words,
I've not witnessed that. I don't know. It seems like they're just falling from all over the tree.
Everywhere, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So the leaves, here's another question. The leaves are more or less normal size?
Right.
Okay. It could be several things. I know it's not root rot because they grow in swampy lands anyway. Mm-hmm. But it could be an anthracnose of the stem, perhaps. In other words, there's a disease, a fungus disease, attacking the vascular tissue in the stem itself. And one thing you can do, if you can get a hold of a branch that's fairly low, that you can perhaps cut some of the bark off and expose the wood down below with a knife and see if there's any darkening of the wood down below the bark layers.
And if it is?
It is. That's probably what it is. They are susceptible to a leaf disease or stem disease, if you will.
Well, this is the first time it's ever done it. Of course, planted it off the creek back in 1978.
Yeah.
And it's about 70 feet across from branch to branch.
Wow.
It is a big tree.
Huh. Well, they don't last forever, so it
Don't tell me that.
Don't tell him that. That's his favorite tree.
That, no.
Come on, man.
That's shade for the house.
Yeah. Anyway, a diagnostic would be to check one of the branches that is affected by the dropping leaves and see if there is some darkening of the wood down below. And if there is, then you probably have some stem canker, which is not too uncommon for an older sycamore tree. So might be on its way out.
Oh
my.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
However, the stem canker is a lot of times characterized by a lessening of the leaf size. So it's probably not what it is. It's probably just ditching a bunch of leaves just because it doesn't need them, too. So that's why I asked if the leaves are falling closer to the main trunk rather than the outer part of the tree.
Yeah. Would a freeze after the leaves are out, would that have bothered it?
I really don't think so. It got down to, 27, which wasn't too much to do any harm. Look at the very tips of the leaves, the very tips of the branches, and if the leaves are distorted, in other words, they look more like a Frito chip rather than a flat leaf. Yeah. And that's anthracnose. The sycamores are highly susceptible to leaf anthracnose as well. And if you have some distortion on your newer peripheral leaves, the chances are you probably just have a case of leaf anthracnose, which really generally doesn't really get into the tree itself.
Just affects the leaves?
Just affects the leaves, right? And it'll drop them. Leaf drop this time of year as a result of leaf anthracnose is not overly unusual. However, the leaves that are affected by the anthracnose typically are the newer ones that are coming out.
There's plenty of leaves still on it, but there was plenty of leaves yesterday when I mowed the ground.
Yeah.
I thought I was in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need to kind of look at the leaf and make sure see if the edges are warped or are more or less not flat.
Yeah.
And
okay.
If that's the case, then it's probably just a simple case of leaf anthracnose. There's nothing to worry about. But if the big ones are, and it's typical for this time of year for that to happen. It happens to maple trees. You get some distortion in the leaves on the maples, and sycamores are really susceptible to it. And they've been around for a long time. It hadn't killed them yet. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. We got one more call here, and let's go to line 23. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I planted some grapevines. Well, last year, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Three of them. And this year they have come on. I had to put another piece of trellis up. And they're so thick that I have thinned those out.
Uh-huh.
At
this young age, I don't know, they're developing their main scaffolds. So
just let them grow this year.
Yeah, I would. And then when they're dormant, you can make an evaluation of which is your main scaffold you want to retain and trim them back that way.
Very good. That's what I thought. I thought, well, I'll give them another year to get established real good.
Yeah, we're going to see some problems with the humidity with the leaves on the grapes also. So you might want to consider some copper fungicide to help stave off that some problems with the rain.
Okay, so how often should I do that?
Oh, not very often, just about 3 or 4 times, really, during the course
of
this.
I've got that, and I've got mean well both, but the copper sulfide is the best way to go.
Yep. Well, copper fungicide, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fungicide, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, appreciate it. Thank
All right,
you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener in just a moment after this 2-minute timeout.
In the early 1900s, the world was changing, and the United States was taking its place as the premier industrial and political power in the world. The newest frontier was not the Wild West as much as it was industry and technology. The world was changing around Bartlesville and in Osage County as well during this time. Frank Phillips and his brother L.E. were growing tired of the boom and bust of the oil business and were in the process of selling off their oil leases and making plans to expand their banking business and making Kansas City their headquarters. The Phillips brothers owned lease 185 in Osage County, and by the terms of the lease, if they didn't drill it, they lost it. Well, it wasn't Frank Phillips' nature to walk away from an investment with at least trying, so rather than lose it, they decided to drill for oil, and they drilled 6 dry holes on that lease, and then finally on their 7th try, they hit oil at around 100 barrels a day. Encouraged, they drilled one more just to the west, and on March 22, 1917, Frank Phillips stood on the drilling platform when the earth and all around him began to tremble. The well exploded with a gusher of over 1,000 barrels a day. It has been said that that well was the beginning of Phillips Petroleum Company and therefore the history and legacy of Frank Phillips. Thanks to that well, we still have Willow Rock to remember the West, the oil, and the history of Frank and Jane Phillips. Come visit the past and capture the magic of Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere
and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Rush. Whatever works, man.
Weekdays at 11. K1 AM 1400, FM 93.3. The one you trust.
All righty, and here we go. It's time to get back to the what's left of our Green Country Gardener show today. Hey, it's been going fast today, Larry. It's just been going fast.
Yes. Top 10 trees. The one I like the most is ginkgo.
All right.
Ginkgo biloba. It's a tree that has maintained its genetics since the Cretaceous period. Mm. It's a survivor. No bugs, no insects, no diseases. Nothing like that. It's a good, sturdy grower. It survives the storms. It's a little slow, but it'll reward you with years and years of satisfaction as far as the tree is concerned. However, make sure you get a male clone.
Yes.
Because they are dioecious, and the females are somewhat objectionable.
I had one.
Yeah. Secondarily, it would be a tie between the English oak and the Chinese pistache. Mm-hmm. English oak is a very good, sturdy tree with very few problems with it. And I like the fastigiated form in the landscape. It makes a bit of a statement in the landscape. It's a very nice tree. Grows. We've grown it in asphalt. We've grown it in good soil, and we've grown it under sidewalks. They're very good trees. And the pistache is another good one, too. And thirdly, we the Northern Red Oak. I really like that. And it's kind of a tie with the Schumacher Oak, really. And as we go down the line, Red Maple is another one. And number five is Willow Oak. And below that is Pin Oak. And below that is the Silver Maple. Mm. And below that yet is the Ailanthus, which is a naturally occurring tree that loves to grow in sidewalks. And where you don't want it to grow, it comes up. Number nine is hackberry, and the worst of all is sweet gum.
Sweet gum.
So there's my top 10 list for today.
All righty, let's go to the caller. Phones here. Hi. Okay. Good morning and welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had another question I forgot to ask you.
Yeah.
A peach tree this, or apple tree this year put on no blooms. Oh, maybe I saw one, and that's all. Never put on any blooms, no fruit or anything.
Huh, interesting.
Probably about 7 years old.
Yeah, the buds probably got frozen. We had a late freeze. Okay. That's probably what happened. I know my plums had just finished blooming then, and now all the plums are falling off. I don't think they got fertilized. So.
Yeah, well, mine didn't even get a chance to fall off. You're lucky, Larry. Okay,
I guess
I wondered about that. And it has put on so much growth. I mean, I'm going to have a lot of trimming to do now.
Yeah, my 2019 crop of plum jelly just doubled in price.
Yeah. Not like what it would be, huh? Yeah. All right, Larry, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. NJ28, oh my. You know, that was a hailstorm that took your plums out, wasn't it?
It was. I think that kind of started the process. Then I was mowing the grass last night, and God, what is all this? My plums are on the ground.
Firing off.
And you look up, there's just a few on the tree. So.
Oh, golly.
So just enough to eat as I cut the grass. So anyway, this is a good fallow year, if you will, for the plums, so they can build up some strength for next year. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on at the house. At the nursery, we have all kinds of great annuals and perennials, a good supply of them right now. We've brought some in. We've grown a lot of them ourselves. Really nice plants. And we got annuals and perennials for sun and shade and good soil, maybe even some for some bad soil. The butterfly plants are coming up. We got some good butterfly bushes, and Asclepia crop is coming on. Those are the things that butterfly really do like.
Oh, yeah.
And hummingbirds, too, they're coming around, too. So you might plant some lantana and some phlox and things and, for the other plants, petunias and whatnot for the hummingbirds. So anyway, whatever you do, when you do your ground prep, get some compost and keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Oh, thank you, Larry. You've been listening to the Green Country Gardener right here on your favorite radio stations. Don't forget, we've got news coming up at the top of the hour. Have yourself a great day today.
What are your retirement plans? Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.